Well, I hope you remember what you heard in the manifestations, because I believe it would really bless you and enhance what I'm going to share with you. It's amazing how God works these things. You know, sometimes we try to script things and make things happen on our own volition, but sometimes we just need to let go and let God. And so I trust you remembered what God said in the manifestations, because it really goes right along with what I want to share with you out of God's Word. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read a perspective that any logical man or woman should understand, and I think really appreciate in light of our relationship with God Almighty, our Father, the Creator of the heavens and earth. So Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehendeth the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in balance? Anybody have any guesses so far who that might be? Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. You know, I was reading this, and in my office I have this real nice brass balance, you know, the scales. And I went over there to see if there was any dust in there, you know. Just a little speck of dust. Do you get the picture here when you're reading God's Word? You know, get your heart into it as we read God's Word here. This is really tremendous. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. You got a picture? It's hard to picture nothing, isn't it? But all nations before him are nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, or vanity. You know, less than nothing and vanity. How could you get less than nothing? What a great picture here. What a great communication. Let's go down to verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. And the word faileth is missing. You look up at the heavens, the stars, there's millions upon billions and trillions upon trillions and billions. Goes on and on and on. And he knows the name of every one of them. And not one is missing. Pretty big God, huh? Wow. All right, where are we here? Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why do you say that? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Now you would think after making a billion stars, God would take a break, you know, and then go on and make another billion. Take a break and, you know, a few more trillion here. No! God does not faint. He is neither weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Quite a God. Quite a creator. Wow. Let's go to Psalms 27, please. Wait upon the Lord. So, really, isn't it very logical in light of us living our life and have it a life of success and happiness and joy that maybe God has some answers? Maybe God has some things available to us? Look how big, tremendous He is. I think of 1 Corinthians 1:25. It says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God's little foolishness is wiser than men. And His weakness is stronger than men. Quite a perspective. Pretty much this should settle it for us, don't you think? In light of who God is as a creator, and that He is the one we want to search out for answers to life. If this is true, God's word is true, there's nowhere else to go but to God Almighty. So, Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, as if we didn't catch it the first time. So who we wait on? The Lord. The Lord. We go to God, the promises of God. Claim those promises and wait till we get the results. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 4. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. You know, and we wait in the sense that we know our wisdom, our strength can't come close to God's. So we wait on Him. Look at verse 12, chapter 4 of Hebrews, chapter 4, right? Verse 12, for the word of God is quick. And that means alive, Old English for alive. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. You know, they say medically, they just can't with the cells and the bone and the marrow and this the joints and the marrow to distinguish between the two where they come together, they just can't do it. Just can't do it. God can do it. That's how finite He is. What else? He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't care what kind of thoughts you may have, some kind of little idiosyncrasies that you might be thinking, but God's been there. He knows. He knows. And He's the one that we go to. And we go to Him through His Word, right? How are you going to know God? God is Spirit, so we go to what He's made available to communicate to us. And that's the wonderful Word of God. You know, yes, we live in this world, don't we? We live, we grow, we learn. We learn within the framework of our times, our culture, the world we live in. But still, God's Word has all the answers, doesn't it? All the answers to life. What are the critical questions about life that we have? I remember when I was 12 years old and I had the realization in my mind that, you know, someday I'm going to die. And that freaked me out. I cried all night that night because I just, you know, you get a little older and you start realizing, you know, that there is life, there's death. I mean, you see it on TV and read about it and everything, but this really happens. And that really started a real deep hunger in my life to find the true God. And I'm thankful when I was, took a few years, about 8 years, before I had the opportunity to see the greatness and integrity of God's Word and see about the great issues of life and death. Where else would you go to find the true answers but God and His Word? Eternal death, eternal life. Where's the answer? God's Word. What about a relationship? You know, we all like to have friends and relationships and things like that where we work. What about a relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Wow. You know, if somebody knew the President, we'd go, ooh, that's neat. Wow, I know the President. I had breakfast with, you know, Mr. Bush. Hey, I spoke to God Almighty this morning. We heard from God Almighty this morning. What a relationship. Wow. What about direction and purpose in life? What about fulfillment? Where are we going to go? God's Word. God's wonderful Word. That's where we'll find the Heavenly Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. How about deliverance? And I know all of you have experienced a little bit of disease, a little bit of pain, a little bit of fear, worry, doubt. Have you not all? How do you overcome these things? Promises of God. God's got an answer. God's got a wonderful answer. What about the great subject of love? Ooh, they say love makes the world go round. But you know what? The love of God gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And it's through Him we have the great deliverance, the great results of living a fulfilling life, don't we? Pretty neat. I think a lot of us know these things. You know, a lot of us have had the opportunity to hear God's Word, to work God's Word, to see it fit like a hand in a glove. And a lot of these issues, these foundational issues of life and understanding, I think we know. We just need to settle it in our minds that, yes, this is it. We need to get to the point that we're convinced this is God's Word. This is the answer. All the other stuff in the world is periphery stuff. Yeah, I got to live through it. I got to experience. But it's the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. See? And we just got to get to the point, that's it. It's God's Word. Come hell or high water, I'm going to believe God's Word. Is there anything better, anything bigger, anything more powerful? No. No. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Nothing greater than our Heavenly Father and His matchless Word. We need to be sure. We need to be convinced. Anchored in our mind, thus saith the Lord, and that settles it. But God's Word encourages us to be strong. I'm getting a little excited up here. Why not? It's God's Word. It's true. And this is what we need to do here. Settle it in our mind. Yes, this is God's Word, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the things I need to do to live within the one body of God, the one body of Christ. What is my function, my purpose? God has an answer for that. Why not fulfill what He has called you to do in the one body of Christ? We need to settle that, be convinced of that, and then do it. Finally, chapter 6, did I give you a chapter? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? The Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow, what a battle, what a wrestling match. What do we do in light of this? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. Let's settle in our minds that, yes, this is God's Word. I'm going to do what it takes to stand for God. God has given me eternal life. He's given me the hope of Christ's return. Well, let's do something about it. If we're settled in our mind, let's walk the word. Let's take a stand against the evil day that we live in. Why not? Go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. We need to get convinced and settled and anchored in our mind on the integrity of God's word. You know, if it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's it. That's true. Let's stand on that. Let's confess that. Let's anchor our mind to that truth in God's word. You know, as long as we don't faint, as long as we don't faint, we will see the promises of God come to pass in our life. Because they're true. They've got to come to pass in our life. The promises of God that we incorporate, that we need to take care of us, that God has given to us. He wouldn't give it to us unless it was available to use it, to manifest it. They are available if we don't faint. Look at this simple little verse here. Verse 9, chapter 6. We have 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. You know, it's talking about sowing seeds. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh, what's he going to get? Yeah. Flesh shall reap corruption. You know, and we all do it. We're all living fleshly life. And all this stuff that we do, you know, you build something, it's going to burn someday. Like everything else will. You know, everything will end. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So it says, let us therefore, or now be not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, Willie and Russell and I, in my backyard, we have a little plot of land. We took a little wrinkled, dry corn seed. Just dry. I mean, you could bounce it, and, you know, off the ground, and it's... We stuck it in the ground, some dirt, threw some water on there. And you know what? Next day, we had a big corn plant with... No, we didn't, did we? But we did this about 2 months ago, and we need to pick some corn, Willie and Russell, because it's there. The fruit has been manifested because we hung in there. We did not faint. That works with God's word. It works with God's word. If we put the promises of God in our heart and stay put, we will see the promises of God come to pass. I want you to go to Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Because I know what you're going to say. Hey, Bob, this sure sounds good, and you can preach this, and it sounds really exciting and wonderful. But you know what? I tried the Word of God and the promise of God, and you know what? It just didn't work for me. I bet everyone in here has had that experience. I sure have. I've endeavored at times to believe God, to try my best, and just didn't work for me. Now, does God have a problem? Maybe Bob has a problem. It just didn't rise up, right? So what do? You know, I try the promises of God. It doesn't work for me. I didn't, you know, I want to get it the next day. You know, it's got to be right now. Boom's quick. We live in a culture that you got to have it right now. Fast food, fast everything. So I need fast miracles, God. So you know what we do? We go, this God stuff, it's not going to work for me. You know, and I've tried it a few times, and then, you know what God thinks? God's going to say, hey, Bob, he just doesn't get it, so why don't we're not even going to listen to him. I'm not even going to listen to God, Bob anymore. You know, we kind of get these thoughts, these five senses, worldly thinking, don't we? Well, let me show you a verse in God's Word that takes care of that issue so that you can each and every day go brand new and have great expectations from God. Let me read it to you from the Word, and you read it too with me. Chapter 3, verse 21. 3:21. You got it? Verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Okay, bring it into my mind. Therefore have I hope or expectation. You know, it's like, hey, I remember that. Now I can have expectation. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, really how we act and conduct ourselves, we're just lucky that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They are new how often? See, I told you each and every day. If you mess up today, guess what? Tomorrow, it's a new day. Isn't that great? This is the attitude. This is God's attitude. Take advantage of it. If we fall short today, get ready for tomorrow. Is God's word true? Does God say what He means and means what He says? Does He have integrity? Yes. Yes. They are new. The word new is fresh. You know, just like baked bread, fresh in the morning. They're new. Every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will what? Hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that do what? Wait for Him. We looked at some verses. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Have some patience. Wait upon the Lord. He's good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. You know, we need to keep seeking God. So many times we just seek everything else. And we just need to, whoa, back off here. I need to go to the Father. I need to go to the Word. And you just got to go with the idea that this is true no matter what. And if you don't get the results today, you can get them tomorrow. Because God's Word is true. We just need to have one thing. And I want you to remember this word. Perseverance. Perseverance. What is that? That's just hanging in there, right? You persevere. You hang in there. You know, if you don't got it now, you're going to wait another minute. And if it doesn't come that next minute, you're going to persevere until the next minute, the next day, the next week. You persevere. You stay in there. You wait upon the Lord. Hey, what did Abraham? What about Abraham? Abraham, when he was around 75 years old, God said, hey, you're going to have a kid, and you're going to have the progeny that's going to equal the stars that you see at night and the sand that you walk on the shore, the seashore. What are you going to do with a promise like that? You're 75 years old, haven't had any children, and your wife is barren. How long did it take him? About 25 years. But he stuck in there. He had perseverance. He believed God. He's mentioned throughout the Word as a wonderful, great believer. It says in Romans 4:20-21, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's our God. That was what he was convinced of, even though it took a few years. Let's go to Hebrews 6:12, please. Hebrews 6:12. That ye be not slothful. Hebrews 6:12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through believing, and patience inherit the promises. What a great example here. That's what he's talking about. Follow those that believe, and patience, endurance, perseverance. they inherit the promises. What is the one thing that stands between the promises of God believed and the promise of God received? What is the one thing that stands between the promised believe and the promised receive? Well, time. Time. Right? Okay, I believe God's word. I want to be healed. I've got a broken hand. All right? God's word says, by his stripes I'm healed. That's it. I believe it. Now there's a little bit of time going on. I believe it. God's word says it. I believe it. All right, I'm healed. Took a little time. Maybe longer. All right? How long did it take for Abraham to have a child and then from there had all millions of progeny? 25 years. Takes perseverance. There's time, right? What are you going to do between the time you confess the promise of God until you receive it? You got to hang in there. You got to persevere. Because your mind's going to get attacked. Oh, no, it's not going to happen for you. No, not with the things you've done in the last 5 years. No way. Hey, new every morning, fresh? No, I believe God. I believe God. And I just stay put. Stay put. You know, I know we're an anxious people. We just, and the adversary has so molded our times and our culture that we want things very quickly. We want them right away. And we just get anxious and upset. And we just don't wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Don't need to turn there. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Wait upon the Lord. Perfect peace. Him whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Pretty neat, huh? I would like to share with you at this time a little thing I put together to help me work with this. You know, I get the promises of God, and before I receive it, how I work with this time, I need to persevere. I need to hang in there, right? So what do I do with that period of time, whatever it is? And so I got a little four-step program that I'm going to share with you. And either you can use it or do your own. Because I tell you, that's what we need to do. We need to deal with perseverance. We need to go to God's Word, get the promise of God where we need to bless our life, to take care of our life, and then do what it takes to receive it and not give up until we get it. So this is just a little program here to, we'll go over this. You guys pass those down back there. This is a four-step program that will help you maintain your position of believing God and have perseverance until you receive God's promise for you. And there's that verse, Hebrews 6:12, remember that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through believing and patience, perseverance, inherit the promises. So, speak in tongues. Number one is speak in tongues in the morning for 3 minutes, no interruptions. You know, you get up, you go do your bathroom thing, you sit in your favorite chair, and you just, okay, God, let's get God going here, get my mind thinking God. God's always there. So I speak in tongues for 3 minutes and just, okay, prayer, perfect praise, worship to God, speaking in tongues. Just get my mind on God, get my mind on God, speak in tongues, 3 minutes. That will just get you started, okay? Then the second step is take 3 minutes to review specific scriptures that are God's promises to meet your particular need. Okay? So you need to first, what is my need? Is it, you know, finance? Is it, you know, fear, healing, whatever it is? Okay, what are the promises of God that will meet my need here? Take care of that situation. Write them down. Put them on a list. Here's mine. I got some fancy picture or decorations here, and I typed it up. And I made a bunch of them. I got one on my dresser, and I got one on my desk. I got one in my little, where I sit in the living room, in that little drawer there. Where I got one in the briefcase. You know, I should put one on the bathroom door opposite the toilet, and that would, but. But the idea is to take 3 minutes and go over that. Read them carefully, soak God's word in your mind. And then number three is look at it and confess with your mouth your scriptures throughout the day. That's why I put them all over. You know, I go to the dresser, get something. Oh, there it is. And I just, okay, this is, you know, I need to have this. And I start going over the scriptures. This helps me persevere. Just stay on track with the promises of God. And then fourthly, or look at John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Wow. We keep asking until we get it, huh? Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith, our believing without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, and the fourth thing is to constantly give glory to God. Regardless of the situation, we just need to be thankful for what we do have. You know, and what have we from God already? Eternal life. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you have the miracle of all miracles has occurred in your life. There'll be nothing greater or better happen for you. The new birth realities is it. Everything else is gravy. But God wants us to have it, so don't cop out on that either. Well, I'm happy to be born again, but if I don't have any money and I got to struggle, or you know, I'm sick here or there, that's okay. No! Let's rise up. It's the promise of God. We're sons of God, right? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So we give glory to God. We just are thankful. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. Remember, we read that, I shared that with you, Romans 4:20. What about this one? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's a great attitude to have, praising God, giving God the glory. And then Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How long? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Well, what do you want to remember? What's the one word? Perseverance, right, Daniel? Perseverance. We stick to it, right? We know the promises of God. We believe them. We're going to receive them. So we have the perseverance until we get it. And I trust this will help you put together a little plan for yourself. You know, you got to work God's word in your heart so it's there so you can believe it. Stay put on it. Okay? So, what stands between the promises of God believed and the promises of God received?
Time.
And we're going to what? Have perseverance. Perseverance. So let's have that, believing God's word this week, okay? And the rest of our lives. Okay, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the richness and the truth of your word that we can go to, that we can believe. Thank you for all the many wonderful promises that you've given us that we can appropriate in our life, that you want us to just prosper and be in health and have all our needs abundantly met. So we're very thankful for that, Father, and that you would so extend your love and your grace and mercy toward us that they are new every morning, your compassions. So, Father, I just thankful for the Word living in each and every person here and their needs being met mightily and more than abundantly by you, Father, as you work within each person here and they just believe you and stay put on your matchless Word. So we thank you in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you all.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. All right.